So I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. So these are familiar words to most of us simply because we sing them frequently at the conclusion of the communion service. Yet I wonder if we really reflect on what they mean or what we're really singing. And it would seem that this reading this morning gives us an opportunity to explore just that. And when we come to the 22nd verse in Luke chapter 2, we're 40 days after Jesus' birth. And we know that because of one of the sacrifices that Joseph and Mary offered there in Jerusalem. It was a sacrifice for a woman's return to the worshiping community after the birth of a male child. That was designated for the 40th day after the birth. I should add there's some fascinating stuff going on with the sacrifice for birth and the sacrifice to redeem that first child that you heard of from Deuteronomy, but that has to wait for a Bible study. For now, it is Simeon's response to seeing Jesus, to Jesus' birth, that gives us our cue for what that birth means for us on this second day of Christmas. And we'll return to those words Simeon spoke as he held Jesus. Now, a more literal translation would read like this: now release your slave master according to your word in peace. Now release your slave. Simeon doesn't even use the word kurios as the designation for God, but he calls him despotes, absolute master and ruler. And of course, in what circumstances did a master, did a despot, release his slave in ancient times? Death. A slave was considered to have completed his or her service only when dead, which puts a rather different spin on this master now let your slave go. It's master, let your slave die in peace as you have promised. Die in peace. Because Simeon had seen Christ, the Messiah, born into our flesh. Now, we don't know how old Simeon really was at this point, only that he had been shown by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. He often gets presented to us as an elderly man simply because Anna, the prophetess, was also old, either 84 or even older, depending on how you translate there. And she and Simeon are clearly part of the same revelation that God is offering to Jerusalem when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to the temple. But why does seeing Jesus allow for a peaceful death? Simply because in Christ, death is no longer a final judgment of sin. And I should add, there's a rather lot of death going on in the traditional observance of the Christmas season. As we noted at the beginning of our service, this day after Christmas commemorates St. Stephen, the first believer in Jesus who was martyred for his faith. And 2 days from now, the Holy Innocents will be remembered, the children Herod killed in his desperate attempt to crush Jesus. And here in Luke, we have Simeon singing about death. And we might say, well, what's up with all of this? We'll go back to peace. Peace is what the angels sang of when Jesus was born. And you may remember about peace that there are three things that we need to understand. First, it is peace with God through reconciliation, the restoration of a right and loving relationship that he works with us in the flesh of Jesus. Because God is in Christ working reconciliation, we have peace with God. And then second, it is a peace that we are given with each other. If I know that I have peace with God, that he will take care of me and provide for me, then what do I need to fight with you about? We can be at peace with each other, trusting God to provide justice and a way forward because he is with us in Christ. And finally, this peace is also the calm of the heart that accompanies knowing that all will be well. All is right with God. We are all right with each other. All will be well. And death can't change that. You see, after the fall, death was set loose in the world as a kind of predator and brought an end to all the life that it touched as the just consequence of sin. And because death was a judgment, it brought fear. People would ask, well, what happens after death? What will God do to me? What hope is there? The people of old went down to death in fear, despair, resignation. Faith gave some hope, but more often than not, there was no peace. The promise of Messiah coming, notwithstanding. And yet now, as Simeon held Jesus, and for us too, there is peace. All will be well. He had seen the Lord's Christ, and we get to see him too. We get to taste him even as we eat and drink his body and blood in the Holy Communion. Every time we commune, we are Simeon taking Jesus into our hands, and we rejoice that God has done everything that he's promised for our forgiveness, for our life, for our redemption. And so as we commune, we can say, now I too can die in peace. Oh Lord, your word has been fulfilled. We die knowing that we shall live. And not merely someday. No, death has no dominion over Christ, and it cannot hold those whom he claims as his own. St. Stephen did not fear the death of the body. He knew that he would continue living in Christ. And so too the holy innocents. So too old Simeon. And you as well. You can join the psalmist in singing, I shall not die but live. You hear again Jesus' words, the one believing in me, though he die, he shall live. Once God concretely took humanity to himself in the flesh of Jesus, death was undone. And even though the body may still die because of sin, behold, in Christ we are clothed with life. We are filled with life, all by the Spirit and the Word. For that, I think, is the other thing that jumps out about Simeon in this passage, that he is intimately connected to the Holy Spirit. And that's because of Christ, and you have that too. We've been misled by a segment of Christianity that looks for the Holy Spirit in visions and miraculous powers and special revelations and the like. For the ordinary work of the Holy Spirit is actually just to create faith and to point us to Jesus so that we have the assurance of God's grace and of God's new life, new hope. And think for a moment of how Luke describes Simeon here. He is waiting for Jesus, for Messiah, for the consolation of Israel. And first Luke tells us that the Spirit was upon him. Now that simply means that the Holy Spirit was working faith in Simeon's heart. Simeon cherished the promises of a Messiah. He hoped for the redemption of God's people and the Messiah's work. He looked forward to a restored creation. The Spirit was upon him. And these things shaped his hope and his life. And the Spirit is given to you as well, my friends, to bring you faith and hope. Then Luke tells us that the Spirit did give Simeon a special revelation. We're not told how that happened, only that Simeon knew that he would see the Messiah during his lifetime. For so many years, Israel had lived with someday Messiah will come. But now Simeon knew, before I die, I will see him. Can you imagine that? I mean, he must have wanted to burst, right? Think if you had a divine word telling you that you would see Jesus' return in glory before you died. Can you begin to imagine how that would change everything for you? Yet even though that word is not going to be given to any of us, Jesus has already said, no one knows the day or the hour, we still get to see Jesus here. And because of that, we can wait content. Share the meal and then go forth and serve. And finally, Luke tells us that it was no accident that Simeon wound up at the temple when Joseph and Mary arrived with Jesus. He came there in the Spirit to the temple. He was moved by the Spirit. Again, we're not told how. We don't even know if Simeon was aware that he was being moved. Maybe he thought he was just going up for prayer. But whatever the case, the Spirit made sure Simeon was where Jesus was. And the Spirit does the same for you. You come here in the Spirit to meet Jesus born at Bethlehem. And the import of this meeting, as you hear his words and see him and receive him, the import of his being born as one of us to fulfill us and to redeem us, the import of that is in those words that Simeon spoke to Mary. This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many. You see, the grammar is not that Jesus will cause some to fall and stumble in unfaith and judgment, and then others will be caused to rise in faith and grace. No, it is the same ones who fall who also rise. That is, in Christ, we see how the old nature in us must pass away. We were in bondage to death and sin, rebellion, ourselves. And only Jesus could break that. But break it he must. He must make the old in us fall through his cross. He must humble sin. He must subdue our rebellion. He must break the corrupt will. But not for judgment, for life. For to the fallen in him, he gives life and mercy and grace and forgiveness, and he raises them up to share his life and his love. Lord, Master, release your slave. Your word is fulfilled. Having fallen in Christ, you and I, we rise to life and to peace, for we know that death is undone and we have nothing to fear. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.